Now, on the level of the Vajrayana, the Lama functions as what is known as the Vajracharya, or as we may translate it, the Tantric Guru. And this, we may say, is the real, the ultimate meaning of Lama in Tibet, the Tantric Guru. Lama as preceptor, that's provisional. Lama as Bodhisattva, even that is provisional. But Lama as Tantric Guru, Tantric teacher, this is the real meaning of the word Lama, the ultimate meaning at least of the word Lama in Tibet. If a Tibetan Buddhist says to you, or says to anybody, that is my Lama, or so-and-so is my Lama, he means that he is his Tantric Guru. He doesn't mean that he has taken the precepts from him. He doesn't mean that he is studying Buddhist philosophy with him. He means that he has received from him Tantric initiation, or Wong, as it is called. Now, the Guru, or the Lama, is of great, or even we may say supreme importance at all stages of the Buddhist life. But especially is this the case in the Vajrayana or the Tantra. And this fact is signified when we remember that in the Vajrayana or in the Tantra, the Lama appears as a fourth refuge. In all other forms of Buddhism, we've got refuge in the Buddha, refuge in the Dharma, refuge in the Sangha. But in Tantric Buddhism, in the Vajrayana, one has also refuge in the Guru. And this fourth refuge comes first. Tibetan Buddhists always say, when they take the refuges, to the Lama for refuge I go. Then they say, to the Buddha for refuge I go, the Dharma, the Sangha. The Lama comes first. Not that really it's a fourth refuge. They do say that the Lama refuge is the esoteric aspect or esoteric form of the first refuge, the Buddha refuge. What is Buddha in general, in relation to the whole Buddhist tradition, in relation to you individually, is what they call Lama. But they consider this so important that they separate this esoteric aspect of the Buddha refuge and make it into a fourth, or rather into a first refuge preceding refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And we may say that Tibetan Buddhists do regard the Vajrayana Lama, the Tantric Guru, as, in a way, a sort of Buddha. If you read the life of Milarepa, for instance, you find that Milarepa always regarded his teacher Marpa as a Buddha, or as the Buddha. So this sort of attitude is very strongly encouraged and inculcated in Vajrayana Buddhism, that one should regard one's Tantric Guru as the Buddha himself, and respect and revere him accordingly. And this is why it's a tradition in Tibetan Buddhism, especially with regard to the Vajrayana, that one never finds fault with or criticizes, not only one's own Tantric Guru, but anybody's Tantric Guru, or even any spiritual teacher in general. And this is one of the reasons also why the Tibetans, certainly at least within the context of Vajrayana or Tantric Buddhism, require the absolute obedience of the pupil to the teacher. Now, the classic example, of course, is that of Milarepa. Some of you might know the story of Milarepa's life. His early days were passed in a rather sinful fashion. He practiced black magic and killed a number of people in this way, and was in general rather disreputable. And then he had a change of heart, and he came within the influence, not to say into the clutches, of a very famous guru called Marpa, who was very, very strict and very, very severe. So he set Milarepa building houses. Didn't set him studying the scriptures or even practicing meditation. He set him building houses in all sorts of odd places, on the tops of hills round about. And he made Milarepa carry the stones on his shoulders. And Milarepa, through carrying these stones on his shoulders, developed great sores. So when he showed these to the guru, all the guru did was to show him how to fold a piece of sacking in order to cover up the sore and carry the stone on the sacking just in the same way that donkeys were loaded with stones. So Milarepa carried on his work in this way. Then he built his first house, and then the guru said it's all gone and made him pull it down again. And this way he built several houses for the guru. They all had to be pulled down, all except the last one. So in this way he was subjected to various trials and various austerities, until, as the guru said, all his sins were thoroughly purified. And only after that he got that initiation. So this life of Milarepa is often cited as an example of how the disciple should behave towards the guru. There's another well-known example in the life of Milarepa, where Marpa, the guru, celebrates a great feast and gives a great initiation to all his disciples. And the practices or the tradition is in Tantric Buddhism that when you receive a Tantric initiation, you have to make offerings. And if it's a very important offering, or very important initiation rather, you have to offer everything that you have in order to get it. That is to say, all your property, all your money, all your household furniture, your pots and pans, and your rice and your barley, even your beer, everything has to be offered to the guru. Because the attitude you're trying to express is that what you are going to receive is so precious that it requires everything you've got in return, as it were. So Marpa one day celebrated an initiation of this sort, and his disciples came. And one came, a very old disciple came, a very old man, from a long distance, and he brought all his possessions with him. Brought his wives and his children and his flocks and his herds, and sacks of rice and sacks of barley, and barrels of beer and all sorts of things, even gold and jewellery, and offered them all to the guru on the occasion of the initiation. But Marpa wasn't pleased in the case of this particular disciple and his offerings. He said, "This isn't good enough, it won't do." So the disciple said to Marpa, "What do you mean?" Marpa said, "You haven't brought everything." So the disciple said, "Yes, I think I have." So Marpa said, "No, just think again." So the disciple thought and thought. Then he remembered there was an old she-goat. It was so old it couldn't walk. So he thought, "That's no good for the guru. Can't do much with an old she-goat that can't even walk." So he'd left it behind and hadn't brought it to offer. So the guru said, "Back you go and get it." So he had to go about 500 miles back to get the old she-goat. So back he went, and everybody had to wait until he came back carrying it on his shoulders. And then the guru said, "Yes, now you've offered everything, now you can have the initiation." And so this is what sort of person Marpa, the guru of Milarepa, was. And this little story also illustrates the importance of devotion to and obedience to the guru, especially the tantric guru. And one might mention, incidentally, that there is, in the Tibetan tantric tradition, a special yoga which is called the Guru Yoga. And the purpose of this yoga is to help one to attune oneself to the mind and the heart of the guru and make one receptive to his spiritual influence. The Tibetans, especially in this tantric context, believe that it isn't enough just to learn certain teachings from the guru. It isn't even enough to do as he tells you. But your heart must be tuned in, as it were, to the guru's heart, so that you know automatically, spontaneously, what he wants you to do, and you behave accordingly. That's why it's sometimes said in several Buddhist contexts, there are three kinds of disciples. The first kind, the guru tells them to do something, they don't do it. The second kind, the guru tells them to do something and they do it. And the third kind, they do it without having to be told. And it's the third kind of disciple whom the guru yoga is meant to form. The kind of disciple who knows intuitively, instinctively, as it were, what the guru wants him to do, because he's tuned in, as it were, to the mind and the heart of the guru and receptive to his spiritual influence. And this is why the Tibetans, or rather the tantric tradition, has this Guru Yoga, as it is called, which tunes the disciple in not just to his own personal guru, but to the guru of his guru, and his guru, and his guru, and so on, right back to the beginning, right up the chain, as it were, right up the hierarchy.